Please pray with me. Dear Lord, please give me a fitting and pleasant manner of speech, so that my conversations may be pleasing to you and to those who hear it. For Jesus' sake and for my eternal welfare, amen. Whenever I hear Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God," I fondly remember working with my grandfather in his very large garden, using a tiller and an old-fashioned plow. To get the soil ready for planting, we used a motorized tiller with two speeds, slow and fast. Slow was only used to awkwardly trot the tiller to the beginning of the row. Fast was used to propel you down the row, which it did exceptionally well. Too well, as a matter of fact, because if I didn't look straight ahead, what I didn't want to happen would happen. If I looked to the left, the tiller went to the left. If I looked to the right, the tiller went to the right. And if I looked behind, well, the tiller just went straight down into the ground. Lessons learned while tilling. Number one, hold on when you hit the gas. Number two, always look forward or you will not reach the end without making a mistake. And number three, when you make a mistake, you have to fix what you messed up. Once tilled, the soil was ready to plow using what I am sure was my grandfather's grandfather's plow, because it had one big metal wheel and two unpainted wooden handles. To plow straight rows, we strung a piece of string as a guide, and once that was done, off I went pushing the plow straight ahead, never to stop or to look back until the end of the row was reached, for to do so would cause the road to be crooked, and I would have to fill in the row and replow a straight one. Whenever we look back after moving forward to where the Holy Spirit has directed us, we seldom get there, because when we look back at what we gave up or where we were, we replace our, "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you," with, "Jesus, I will follow you, but," or, "I will follow you, Lord, if." Let's face it, nearly every day we make excuses to not follow Jesus, or to not do what needs to be done, or to not do what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do, by telling ourselves, "I cannot do this," or "I cannot do that," because "I am already doing this," or "I need to do." You can fill in that blank. And for those occasions when we can't come up with a good excuse, we attach stipulations to the Spirit's calling or to what Jesus requires of us in order to make it more palatable. These stipulations almost always begin with an if or a but. Following Jesus Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit requires us to get off of our posteriors and show those around us that we love them as Jesus Christ loves us, and we want them to know Jesus loves them too. Unfortunately, those ifs and buts keep us from reaping the fruits of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's take a moment and look at what our excuses look like when we attach them to the nine fruits of the Spirit we heard about in Paul's letter to the Galatians. "Lord, I would love my neighbor more if my neighbor wasn't such a pain in the rear." "Lord, I would have joy in my life if I could only forgive." You fill in that blank. "Lord, I would live a peaceful life if I wasn't so angry with." Fill in that blank also. Lord, I will be patient. Lord, I will be patient. But only if you will make what I want and what I pray for happen faster. Lord, I will be kind to people, but only when they're kind to me. Lord, I will be generous, but first let me win the lottery. Lord, I will be faithful, but only if I can control the outcome. Lord, I will be gentle, but only to those people who are gentle with me. Lord, I will practice self-control. But you see, there's this one little sin. There's this one little sin I really, really, really like, and I don't want to give it up. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should never use the word if, because if is bargaining with God. And the only time we should use the word but is when Satan tempts us with worldly things, emotions, and actions to which we are called to respond. But the word of God says I should do something else. But the word of God says I should do something else. When Holy Scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Means that Christians are to avoid. Christians are to avoid saying, yes, Lord, but, and yet we do, which is precisely why we are asked in the baptismal covenant, will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Whenever you fall, will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. And we respond, I will with God's help. Which is perhaps the most necessary of all of our promises to God, since we cannot follow Christ. We cannot follow Christ and we cannot be led by the Holy Spirit without God's help. Because you and I, we are way too easily drawn from a life of holiness back into a life of worldliness. Luke could have portrayed these three men as bad examples for us to not follow, or Luke could have portrayed these men as good examples for us to follow. However, Luke left their actions unknown. Did the man who said, I will follow you wherever you go, follow Jesus after he learned there would be no place for him to lay down his head for a good night's sleep? Did the man to whom Jesus commanded, follow me, did he go and follow, bury his father, or did he walk with Jesus and proclaim the kingdom of God? And did the man who said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go say goodbye to my family and friends, did that man turn his back on Jesus, or did he walk with Jesus? We will never know what they did. Perhaps we assume they didn't follow Jesus because we wouldn't follow Jesus knowing we would have to give up sleeping with a nice fluffy pillow under our head without being able to bury a loved one or without saying goodbye to our family and friends. But we could be wrong because one or more of those men could have been more courageous than we think they were and immediately followed Jesus. Or maybe they went away from Jesus only to do what we proclaim in our baptismal covenant. Repent and return to the Lord. Perhaps they repented and returned to the Lord. Whatever may have happened really isn't important. It's really not. What is important are the questions Jesus' words cause us to ask ourselves. When we say, yes, Lord Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, do we continue following when the way becomes monotonous, problematic, or painful? When Christ through the Spirit commands, follow me, Do we respond with, "Just a minute, Jesus, I'm in the middle of something, I'll get to you in a moment"? Or do we placate Jesus by saying, "I'll be right there, Jesus, once I finish telling everyone goodbye and parting with my friends who don't love you as I love you"? Faithfully and lovingly following Jesus as our Lord and Savior isn't easy. But then again, nothing worth doing is ever easy. Were it easy, Jesus wouldn't have needed to send out the disciples in twos, and we wouldn't need to repent and return to God's love for us through Jesus Christ when we fail. After all, failure is never an option. Failure is going to happen, which is why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live, to die, and to be raised from the dead. So you and I, so we can live joyful lives filled with redeemed failures and filled with love, peace, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, please grant that in my devotions and in my work, I may cast out the vice of laziness. May I serve you with an alert mind and always put the salvation of my neighbor before my own spiritual comfort, showing sympathy and pity to all who are troubled and perplexed. Let me never be wholly taken up with myself, but always, for the love of you, be ready for sacrifice. Amen.